Some of us, me included, just can't imagine not having support. Hello, gals, and welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40, helping you put down the wine and pick up conscious, happy living. I'm Becca Jacobson, and this is what we call a snippet. If you're new around here, the snippets are short inspiration, strategy, stories, and foundational sobriety for women over 40 who are living their lives but struggling quietly underneath with alcohol. I'm so glad you made your way here, especially because today I have for you an interview I did with one of my clients who has a unique perspective on the whole journey, and I can't wait for you to hear her story. So let's get right to it. Gals, here's a chat I had recently with Cindy. Cindy, thank you for doing this and welcome to the snippets. I'm really happy that you decided to do this. Cindy, tell us where you're coming from. Although I know in your case, that's a little difficult because you come from a lot of places. Maybe you can tell us a little bit of background there on the story of where you're coming from. And I'd like to know too, why you decided to come do the snippets.
Okay. First, thank you for having me. I feel privileged and happy to be here and speaking with you in snippet land. I love it. I love that saying, snippet land. I'm coming from Texas. I've lived here 34 years. My two children were raised here. We are here with my husband and I. He was transferred here. This has been our home for quite a while. I am originally from Southern California, and so is my husband. And I spent my formative years, junior high, high school, early 20s, in Florida, which is where I really think of as my home. I've been retired with my husband. He's been retired 10 years. I haven't worked for 8. And we decided after retirement to just travel as much as we can with a motorhome. We visited national parks and we like to hike. We like to be outdoors. We love traveling.
I remember, because this is one of the things that really stuck out for me, is you joined me in one of my challenges. I'll let you speak about that. But you were emailing me and saying, I'm in the motorhome park. I'm trying to follow along, but it's a little hard because I'm in, anyway, amazing place. And you sent me some pictures and it was a bit of a struggle to stay connected, but you did persevere. You did stay connected and your story's not a straight line, is it? So how about a little bit of background there? And I'd also like to know how the alcohol played into your motorhome lifestyle. What was going on there?
Well, you know, alcohol has always been there, right? It's societal. We drink for celebration. We drink when we're sad. For me, it was social anxiety for a while. I was always a busy person, but I was that person that would sit down in the evening after everybody else had gone to bed and drink more. One of those.
Sounds familiar. Sounds very familiar. There's a problem when that happens, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is done and you're still wanting more. That's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I get past 1, 2, and then no control. It's like, oh, this feels good. I like being here. I want to stay here. And I would finish the whole bottle. But traveling and being around different people and different situations, I found it exhilarating to meet new people and talk to new people. But there was always the happy hour. And just, it did get kind of lonely. In one respect for me, not being around a routine at home, even though it was lots of fun and I enjoyed it and I do enjoy the outdoors. It's makes me feel like I'm in a sacred space, I guess, the outdoors. But it is kind of lonely also to do that. And it's challenging being around different people in different situations. And there's always alcohol, always.
The motorhome lifestyle, is it true what they say? Lots of booze?
Yeah, come visit me around my, you know, the campfire.
Let's
have a bourbon tonight. You know, that's, yeah, it's a get together, visit with people. around a happy hour setting a lot of the time. But it's fun. So I love the like-mindedness of the people in that community.
So was it January? Was it Juicy January that you came into my, it was, right? Tell me about your experience with Juicy January, please. As I say, it wasn't a straight line like most people's.
No, it wasn't. Those years from like 2020, really, on to last January were hard. I think they were emotionally hard on a lot of people. Family members were having a hard time. There were health issues going on with people I loved, including myself. I had to have a total hip replacement out of the blue. I'm like, what the hell is that about? And so in recovering from my own self and trying to help the people I loved around me, I just didn't do a very good job of it. I was drinking way too much to self-medicate, just way too much. January, I was in a really bad place. I was super depressed, super lonely, in my motorhome, in the middle of nowhere. I was in a bad place. And I decided I needed some help. I had tried, I'll drink one or none, moderation. Does not work. So I just looked online. I was just looking for something that resonated with me that I could join, that I can be a part of. I realized I needed to be a part of something. I needed a community. And I found your snippets. I'm not even sure where I found them, but I downloaded several hours and put them in my ear. And I went on a hike all by myself. And I listened to you for a long time. I started with your first snippets, the first one. And then I jumped to the middle. And then I jumped to the end. And I laughed. You're so funny. I laughed and I cried and I connected with so many things you talked about. And I'm like, I love this woman. I need more of this. And I joined Juicy January, but it was the middle of January by then. So I jumped in halfway through. So, and that was difficult. February, I decided just to do it by myself. That didn't work very well.
Right. I remember that now. Yeah.
I even partnered up with somebody else from the group that also wanted to start over. She didn't do very well. Neither of us did very well. And I'm like, I need to talk to you. But then I was traveling. I'll be back this day. I'll be back that day. And finally, we connected, the end of March, I believe. Yeah. We finally had our call. Yeah. And I cried.
It was fun for me sort of watching from the sidelines because you were emailing me when you could, connecting when you could, and I was kind of following along on your journey. I could tell that you wanted support, you wanted help, but your life wasn't settled. And I could hear, though, Cindy, I could hear in your words a desire for something different. And as difficult as it was, you just kept trying, right?
I knew I needed it. I knew I needed some support. And I knew other things that I tried or other support things I looked into didn't fit me. And the fact that this was a group of women, all older, I'm 67, just resonated with me that I might find a connection there.
And have you? What's it been like?
I have. So I started the program in April. So I did April and May. I was settled those 2 months, although it was, again, in my motorhome, but I was in the same place, not moving around. And it was great. It was hard at first to sit down and do a program, but you had it organized so well. And that's part of what intrigued me about you. I knew you were a college professor. And I knew you knew how to teach. I knew that you had that quality and that you would be able to put something together. You would be able to create a program, give feedback on the professional level that you did for how many years when you were a professor?
20, exactly 20 right. years.
So yeah. That was part of my draw to you also.
I have never heard that before. Thank you, Cindy. And it was true. It was one of the reasons, despite the fact that I didn't have a whole lot of confidence, like podcast, what do I know about it? But then I realized I've been teaching a long time. I know how to teach adults. And it really has been amazing because I also have that imposter voice. You know, we all have it, right? The imposter voice, especially if we've struggled for all those years with alcohol, it's there trying to get you in the background. Who are you to think you can? You're not good enough. We all have that. That's why I talk about it so much on the Snippets. Anyway, thank you for bringing that up, Cindy. Back to your story.
Okay. So the program you created, Miss Teacher, was really great. Focusing made us think. It's all about growth and mindset. This whole thing is growth and mindset. That's really what it boils down to. And to start at, you know, looking at ourselves deeper, looking at our past, things that we're holding on to, thinking about what kind of future we might have, all that work, and then being able to share it on a weekly basis and a daily basis with a group of other women who are also of a certain age from all over the continent, of the world even. We're all different, but we all share the same thing, that we're there in that space, that safe, comfortable space, because we all have the same goal of wanting to get alcohol out of our lives because it's no longer serving us. It's been life-changing for me. It's been a game changer.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And you know, it's the way you show up and the others show up. I feel every day so honored. When you talk about the group, by the way, for the listeners, there's about 20 women. That's it. So you're not lost in a group of 100. And I know each of you and you know each other and you show up for each other. And I sometimes sit back and look and I just thank God. I literally do. I'm just like, thank you for sending me these amazing women, right? And every single one of you say the same thing. I don't know how I found you. Well, I do. When we're ready, the right person will come along to help us. And that happens all the time. I don't know where you came from, but it's been a life changer. It's a prayer. You sent a prayer up. The prayer gets answered. And that works both ways, right? My prayer was, send me women I can help. And here you are, right? So it's divinely inspired. So my point here, Cindy, is that you and the other women show up. You not only do the work, but you support each other. And it's very beautiful. And I want to add, it's a lot more fun teaching you than 20-year-olds who don't want to write essays. So
I bet.
It's a blessing.
I bet. But I also find, because I did choose to stay on after,
yes.
after that initial 2 months, because I... Even just taking a little break, I was like, you know, I missed that connection. And now I was the new person in the group struggling and help me. I'm having a bad day and I don't understand this. And now I've been through it. And now you have other new women that are in that place. And we who have journeyed there already are being able to give support and feedback because we've experienced it. And it's such a great thing. It really, really is.
It is. And I believe it's more helpful to the new women to have you, who maybe you're a couple, 3 months sobriety and the other women's for whatever, then, I mean, I'm there, but I'm going on 7 years. And I talked about this in one of the snippets that they would send me off to the 12-step meetings and I'd walk in the door and some woman would say, hi, I'm so-and-so and I've been sober 30 years. And it would piss me off. Like, who the hell are you? You don't even remember what it feels like to have a drink, let alone hungover. Like, it just annoyed me. They're too far gone. You know, if you haven't had a drink in 30 years, first of all, what the hell are you doing here? Why are you here? But anyway, so it's so beautiful to watch you women, the way you support each other. And that's why I put you in together. You know, the new women come in and it's women like you who step up for them because somebody was there ahead of you stepping up for you. And it's just so beautiful. How does it feel for you supportive in the group? What's that like?
Oh, it is very comfortable for me. Yeah, it feels good to give the feedback because I appreciated it, the feedback, when I was at the beginning too. And I'm 3.5 months? That's not very far. I'm still very raw on a lot of things. When I get dumped into a new environment, a new situation, I kind of have to find a new pattern, how I'm going to navigate that.
Tell me about your decision to stay on. So the foundational program is 8 weeks. What happened after that for you?
I wanted to continue. I couldn't imagine not having the support group to talk with on a daily basis or on our weekly Zoom and seeing everyone's faces. I missed at one point like 3 in a row. I was traveling to California to visit my mom, and I did not realize until I finally got back on Zoom how much I missed seeing everybody and interacting with everybody face to face, not just in our daily WhatsApp.
Yeah. Cindy, that is so important. I'm a big believer in coaching. I have a coach. I've had one now 3 years. I've been through a few. I finally found one I'm settled with. It's the same. It doesn't matter where we get to. We need a mirror. We need someone else in our life. And it's not the same as therapy. It's just such a beautiful relationship that the fact that almost all of you stay longer, you know, the initial invitation is 8 weeks. Then I invite you to stay either another 3 months or 6 months or a year. Some stay a year. And that's why. Because it's not like they're, okay, I'm good, I'm done now. Not if we want to grow, right?
It's continuous. So, it's a continuous growth. And I love hearing from the women that have been there 6 months or more. You know, I love their stories. And it helps me keep going. And it honestly does get easier every day.
Does.
And even just the last 2 weeks for me have been a lot easier as far as letting go and not thinking about alcohol being a part of my life anymore.
2 weeks. See? Three and a half months.
Yeah.
We think we've gotten to some point, but there's always more. That's what I'm discovering. There's always more growth, more opportunity for experience in this life. And I am determined that we make it the best era of our lives, all of us.
I 100% agree. And you might find this funny, but I heard an interview with Jane Fonda several years ago. And they asked her, I heard you stop drinking your martinis. You loved your martinis. And her answer, not exact quote, was, I'm too old to stop wasting another day feeling bad.
Wow.
That just resonated with me so much. And because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's I'm 67. Beautiful. I don't have days that I want to be sick and tired anymore. I want to enjoy my days that I have left. Yeah.
It's a funny thing about human nature. It's like, I'm 67 or I'm, but even if you're 40, you don't have a day to waste. And when I think back of all the wasted, I wasted my 30s, my 40s, because I did, you know, I didn't quit drinking until my 50s. Those are wasted days. So even for younger women, why, right? But for some reason, that seems to be the way God set it up, that it doesn't really hit us till we hit a certain age and we realize, wait a minute. I don't have forever here. I better make a move.
There's an end game.
Even when you're 40, you still feel like you're going to live forever. But yeah, so you hit a certain point where you're like, oh, wait a minute. The end is closer than the beginning all of a sudden. Yeah. Oh, well, it's good. Every moment we experience is worth experiencing. So Cindy, what would you say to any woman out there listening in Snippet Land who's been sitting back hesitating and wondering what to do? What is Cindy's advice?
My advice, put your own health and well-being first. You have to put yourself first. You cannot be there for others in your life and help them. They need help if you are not taking care of yourself first. And when you take care of yourself first, then you're able to give with more of an open heart to others around you, because you felt at peace with yourself, and that shows, and you can share that with other people and the people you love especially.
That's beautiful, Cindy. And I'm always harping on that here in Snippetland because we are givers and we put ourselves on the back burner, and that's not acceptable behavior around here. I'm just like, you count. You're important. And if you don't look after yourself, you really can't show up for others. We think we are, but, and if you don't love yourself, and that's one of the biggest challenges, is learning to love and forgive ourselves, but it's all part of the growth process. So that is a beautiful piece of advice. I'm glad you chose that to put out there, because I know there's a lot of women that think, yeah, but I'll get around to it.
You put it off and you just stop taking care of yourself because you're so busy, you have to take care of everybody else and their feelings and whatever's going on with their health. And you just let yourself slide, which is what I did. For 4 years, I just let myself slide to where I was like numb and not even a person anymore. And I had to say, stop, enough is enough. I have to take care of me first.
Did you have any pushback from anyone in your life on that? Because a lot of us think that we're going to, most of us don't.
No, I actually, you know, slowly talked to some family and then some close friends, and everybody was great. And my husband has been very supportive with me also. And he does still drink, but not as much. He's become more aware of it also. So it's all good. Yeah, you think like I've been hiding all this, and you know, they're like, well, we didn't think you had a problem. All because I drank the second half of the bottle at night by myself, or another one. So you're outwardly functional, right? I was very busy. I was very active. I worked. I volunteered. I did all these things. And but at home in the evening, I couldn't stop at one or two. That was harder as I got older because I felt like I wasn't metabolizing it as well either. I was sicker on less.
Right. Yeah.
I was more sick on less alcohol. Like, I used to be able to drink this whole bottle and go to work. No.
Yeah, that's right. Body's not the same.
No.
Yeah, you just mentioned one of the dangers as well is people will say to us, oh, you don't have a problem. What's the deal here? And that's when we need support to stand our ground. And we don't have to talk them into believing we have a problem. We just need them to understand that we're making some choices for ourselves that are right for us. They don't need to get it. But that moment in time can be dangerous. If it's a good friend or even a partner saying, what's the deal? You're fine. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and I mean, some of them were like, oh, gosh, well, I never knew that. Or, you know, they didn't know because it was hidden, right?
Yeah. And we don't have to tell everyone anyway. We can quit drinking for our health or, Well, one last question. What would you say to anyone who's trying to decide whether they should get help or not? What should they do?
You should do it. You should do it when you're ready. You'll know when it's time. You will find that the other things you've tried just aren't working anymore. I mean, I did. I tried one or none. One or none. That was such a joke.
One or none.
It really was. In retrospect, it was like, that one's really silly. But jump on board because it really is a safe space. It's a safe space. It's you're not going out to some meeting somewhere with random people. You're doing it in your own space, in your own home, with these other women, which I think is incredible. And there's so much that you're going to get out of it.
I think more importantly, whether they join me or someone else, we need help, right? And I always say on the snippets, do a little research. Find a path that resonates with your heart and grab onto it like a life raft and do it. But it just so happens that I'm the best. And so I don't know why you would go anywhere else, but whatever. I can live with that. Get help. Don't suffer alone, right? Would you agree with that? Yes.
I agree. Exactly. Find for women, older women, you are the one, you know, you're the one. And that's what I was searching for. I didn't want to go somewhere. There were a bunch of men and a bunch of young people. I didn't want that. I needed to be with like-minded people of my age, all wanting the same thing. And that's what I found with you.
Perfect. And I am so glad that you did. And I'm glad that you joined. And I'm glad you're in my world. And I'm really, really grateful you decided to come and do a snippet with us. Thank you for sharing your story here in Snippet Land, Cindy.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Wow. Thanks again, Cindy. That was amazing. And gals, if you would like to be with like-minded people your own age, like Cindy, all wanting the same thing, now's your chance. Starting next week, October 3, 4, and 5, I'm doing a free seminar called It's My Time. It's My Time, the 3-day sobriety seminar for 40-plus women who are ready to take advantage of this moment in time before the holidays set in. You know what happens then, right? And the next thing you know, it's January. Hey, I got nothing against New Year's resolutions, even though most of them fail. Now, I've got nothing against dry January, except I don't like the expression, and I prefer to call it juicy January. But why wait? Why wait, gals, when we can do it now? If it's your time, join me October 2, 3, and 4, that's starting next Friday, for the It's My Time 3-day sobriety seminar built just for you. The link is in the show notes. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.